read the Mishnah once more. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Ha'osa mitzvah achas konel praklet echad. If one goes ahead and does one mitzvah, he acquires for himself an angel advocate. Va'ovra avira achas konel lo kategor echad. And one who violates an avira, commits a transgression, acquires for himself an angel accuser. Tshuva umaisim tovim kisris bethnei aparanos. And tshuva, repentance, good deeds are like a shield against retribution. So now, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying in the first part of the Mishnah? What would you say? I'm sure you've seen this Mishnah before. This is a famous idea. It's actually, this is not the only place where this type of concept appears. It appears in other Gemaras as well. The verbiage here is unique. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Pirkei Avos. Good, I know it must have been a wonderful vacation. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying? Not a trick question. And what's the role of the malach? Okay, so good. So it could be that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is pointing out over here, and this, by the way, I didn't put it on the sheet, but it could be that what he's really referencing is the Gemara we see in Meseches Sota. The Gemara says, so ose mitzvah achas, if a person does a mitzvah, mikadmoso v'holech lefonov. Person does a mitzvah, that mitzvah literally walks before him. It advocates for him. Our actions are not just the good deeds that we do, are not just nice mitzvahs that we do, but rather, again, they advocate for us. What does it mean they advocate for us? Okay, so remember again, each of us has mitzvahs and averos. So remember again, this is a very important idea. Excuse me. What's the definition of a tzaddik? Definition of a tzaddik. More mitzvos than averos. This is a very important idea. Right? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that the definition of a tzaddik, the definition of a righteous person, is someone who has more mitzvos than averos. Someone who is a rasha? More averos. Which, by the way, I just want to point out, not everyone accepts this Maimonidean definition. Because if you think about it, I mean, we love this definition of the Rambam. This is great. Because the truth is, according to this definition, you have a shot at being a tzaddik. Right? Because pretty much to be a tzaddik, 51%. 51%. A lot of us fit into 51%. Again, there's 49% of stuff that I still have to rectify. But if you think about it, 51% of Maisim Tovim is not a hard threshold to pass. Absolutely, that is reachable, that is attainable. Not everyone subscribes to that definition. Some have a much more absolute definition of tzaddik and a much more absolute definition of rasha. Excuse me. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov seems to be saying over here is that our actions advocate on our behalf, which means what? Each of us have mitzvos and averos. And there is, how often does HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge us? How often? How often? So remember again, this is another major machlokas. Excuse me, in the Gemara. So some have that judgment occurs on Rosh Hashanah. Others have it that Adam Nidon B'chol Yom, a person is judged every day. And still others have it that Adam Nidon B'chol Sha'a. Chol Sha'a can mean what? Every hour or every moment. But the point is that judgment is continuous. It's best, who do we paskin like? So best to paskin like Adam Nidon B'chol Sha'a. If you believe that you are judged every moment, that is an incredible motivator. An incredible motivator to keep, make sure that your life remains in order. If there is constant, ongoing, perpetual judgment at every single moment, that means I'm always standing before the Beis Din Shammah. I'm always standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So like in any court case, so there are the accusers and there are the defenders. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov just says, understand that when you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah advocates on your behalf. So that even in the midst of judgment, that mitzvah is there to say, hey, I know that Silber's done things wrong, but look at this. Examine this. Here I am. I am the Maisim Tovim. I'm the good deed. I'm the mitzvah that this individual has committed. Make sure to take that into account when judging this individual. And Chas V'Shalom, conversely as well. Our averos also advocate on our behalf, or our averos accuse against us. This idea is that our actions are living, breathing testaments. And you want to understand who a person really is. How do you tell? Meaning, how can you tell about who a person really is? What do you look at if you want to see who a person is? Their actions. Never look at what a person says, but always look at what a person does. The truth is, we know this, the easiest way to relate to this is often with children and parents. Most children remember very little of what their parents said. They remember much of what their parents did. Of course, that works both ways, right? If you saw good things, you remember those things. And if you didn't see good things, unfortunately, you remember those things as well. A person is judged based on their actions. Talking about what you want to do, espousing your ideologies, your hashkafas, your life outlook is fantastic, but matters very little. What matters much more is what you do. We are defined by our actions. I am defined by my mitzvos. I am defined by my averos. I am defined by the things I do well, and I am defined by my deficiencies. That's why Rambam says that at the end of the day, the Rambam says that at the end of the day, a person is defined by the majority of their actions, which is a very interesting idea. That at the end, what do I spend 51% of my time doing? If I spend 51% of my time doing mitzvot, then I'm a tzaddik. I spend 51% of my time doing averos, I'm a rasha. It's split 50-50, what am I? Right? I'm a Beinoni, I'm a middle of the rotor. But that's what I'm saying is, we are defined by what we do, not by what we say. We're defined, ultimately, again, not by the hashkafos we espouse, but by the meisim, by the actions we engage in. That appears to be what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is saying. If that's the case, then what's the meaning of his second phrase? Tshuva u'maisim tovim kisris befei aparanos. What would you say? What does that phrase mean? Tshuva and good deeds are like a shield in front of retribution, punishment. What does that mean?
Even if you do averos, if you do like mitzvot and you do tshuva, then it will shield you from
that. Excellent. So what does that mean, it'll shield me? What does that mean? Good. So this is incredibly important. You know, the Ramchal discusses this idea. The Ramchal says that what is the greatest manifestation of divine compassion? I have to ask you, the greatest manifestation of Midas Harachamim, divine compassion, what would you say? I'm sorry? Teshuva, good, what else? The ability to repent, what else? Simpler. What does that mean?
That we have another chance.
That
we have every day.
Oh, so this is incredibly important. The Ramchal points this out. When he says it, you say, it's obvious, but Sir Ramchal says like this. I'm not going to ask for a show of hand who's committed an Aveira today. Right? Right? But chances are, right? If it's not today, yesterday, the day before. What should happen when a person commits an Aveira?
Automatic punishment.
What should be the punishment? The truth is, death, done, right? In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me life. Understand, when I commit an Aveira, so what am I doing? I'm embezzling. I'm taking that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, the kochos that He gave me for good, and I'm actively stealing them, hijacking them, embezzling them, and using them to do something that is against the Ratzon HaBore. What should be the punishment for that? I don't deserve to occupy a place on this earth. I don't deserve to be here if I'm an embezzler from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachamim says, I'm going to give you time to get it together. Shmuel, so listen, I'm upset, I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to give you time to get yourself together. I'm going to give you time to right the wrongs. I'm going to give you time to do tshuva. I'm going to give you... That's Rachamim. Rachamim says that even though the world operates based on the principle of cause and effect, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to delay, even though the cause occurred, I'm going to delay the effect. I'm going to give you time to be able to get... How much time? So here again, it depends on the Avera, it depends on the person, it depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot of variables, but there's time. So Rabbi Ben Yaakov is saying like this. You see, based on what we just said, a person does a mitzvah, it's my angel advocate. A person does an Avera, it's my angel accuser. So therefore, I would think, I commit an Avera, then what happens? And according to the first part of the Mishnah, what happens? I commit an Aveira. What happens? Right? The angel accuser goes up to Beis Din Shamala and is advocating against me or accusing me against me. Tisha B'Elos of Yaakov says, no, there's a pause. Yes, I've done an Aveira, I've committed an Aveira, I've created this negativity in this world. I've created this koach. I've created this negative force. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gives me the time to right the wrong. You see, when you read the first part of the Mishnah, it almost seems like there's an instantaneous reaction. You commit a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah, X happens. You commit an Aveira, Y happens. Well, if Y is happening, I committed the Aveira, that means my Aveira is prosecuting against me in the Beis Din Shalmala. What am I supposed to do? Tish Rosh Yaakov says, Tshuva u'maisim tovim kisris b'fnei aparanos. So Tshuva u'maisim tovim like a shield. Right? What does a shield do? What does a shield do? It protects. What doesn't the shield do? Fight. Right? It's very important. The shield, you can't conquer your enemy with a shield. What you can do is you could protect yourself from your enemy, but at some point in time, you have to fight back against the enemy. So the Tshuva Meisim Tovim can go ahead and serve as the shield against the Averos. It buys me the time. It gives me the space to be able to right the wrongs that are in my life. But at some point in time, the shield is not enough. At some point in time, I'm going to need some additional changes, which we'll get into, right? We'll discuss what... Also, the word tshuva, by the way, means different things in different contexts. We're going to have to see what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, how he's using tshuva in this particular context. So two incredible lessons. Lesson number one is our actions matter. And this is incredibly important. Because sometimes we think we do certain things, and because nothing physically is created, right? You know, this comes up all the time. This is the great Nisayan, of course, of Lashon Hara, right? The person, why do we often rationalize speaking Lashon Hara? I know, you're Nashim Tzidkanios. No one here knows. Maybe you have a friend who has spoken Lashon Hara, right? Why do people, what's the rationalization? It's just words. It's just words. I'm not stealing someone's wallet, right? I'm not punching someone in the face, right? I'm talking. It's words. So the first thing that Yaakov says is all of our actions, verbal or physical, or sometimes even cognitive, create realities. You can't, so many times in life we think or we do things because we think that our actions don't create realities. Every action has a reaction. Every action creates a reality. Whether that action is verbal, whether that action is physical, whether that action under certain circumstances is cognitive. Everything we do in this world, bein l'tov, bein l'ra, whether it's good or it's not so good, creates realities in our world. And as such, life is all about living with the realities that you have created through your actions. If you've done good things in this world, fantastic. You will have positive realities. If you've done negative things in this world, unfortunately, there are negative realities that you have to contend with. But lest you think, comes the second part of the Mishnah and says, lest you think that after you do something negative, instantaneous retribution, there's no time to right the ship. Tshuva u'maisim tovim, kisris b'fnei aparanos. There are ways to buy yourself some time in life. Yes? Tshuva is a process. Tshuva is a process. Tshuva, certain types of tshuva have the ability to erase averos, have the ability to go ahead and transform averos. What he means over here is the continuum, but that's a process. So that when I engage in tshuva, when I begin, remember again, the Rambam discusses this idea that the process of tshuva begins with hirhurei tshuva, thoughts about change. What do thoughts about change go ahead and accomplish? It's the beginning of a continuum. So that's what he's saying over here. Yes, when you get to the end of it, tshuva could be much more than a shield. But even the beginning of the process doesn't take away the Aveira, it doesn't transform, it's a shield. It protects me, it gives me the time to right the ship. Yes?
What about Tzadik Barala? He does good, he doesn't.
So you're saying very good. So remember over here, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is looking at this in a very tunnel vision type of thing. You know, when you start bringing in Tzadik Vera, a lot of times Chazal express concepts, and those concepts are true in a vacuum. The difficulty is how those concepts kind of mesh with other global concepts that apply in life as well. What Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is trying to teach us is our actions matter. Our actions matter. You do something good, you've created positive energy. You do something bad, you've created negative energy. He's not talking about right now reward and punishment. Right? Let's be very clear. And even the second part, when he says Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim are like a shield in front of Paranos, like we said, a shield can mean a lot of different things. A shield can be something that totally protects you. A shield can be something that partially protects you. A shield can be something that protects you for a little while, but not for too long. See, he's not in any way painting a picture that if you do mitzvos, everything is going to be perfect. Everything is going to be wonderful. And if you do Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim, the shield is going to protect you from everything. I don't believe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is stepping into that at all. And when we get into his backstory, you're going to see why as well. So let's begin. So that's all by way of just an introduction to the Mishnah. An incredibly profound, again, it sounds so simple, but you begin to see the profundity. Let's spend a little bit of time speaking about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's background. Number two, Maisa shenichnesu shiva zekinim la'aber es hashana bebikas rimon. So one time, seven of the elders came into the Rimon Valley to be Ma'aber the Shana. Ma'aber the Shana means what? Make a leap year, right? Umi Hayu, who were the rabbis who declared the leap year? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nehemiah, Rabbi Lazer, Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. So why is this Gemara important? What does it tell us about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? So firstly, he's the same status. And remember, again, out of all those names there, who do you recognize most? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. We know these people are mentioned throughout Shas. Good. What else do you see from here? A very important halachic note. The concept of declaring a leap year is a very, very, very dramatic halachic decision. Because ultimately, again, you are making a decision that impacts Pesach, Shavuos, Yom Kippur, right? Many different things. So historically, who were the people who were able to declare a leap year? The Gedolei Hadar, right? The members of the Sanhedrin, not just any of the members of the Sanhedrin, the highest, the most elite, the most senior members of the Sanhedrin. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is part of this cohort who is going to declare the Iber Yar, the leap year, tells us that not only was he one of the great Talmidei Chachamim of the generation, he was one of the Gedolei Hadar. That's point number one. Point number two, take a look at number three, an incredible medrash. Yud Beis Elef Talmidim Hayu L'Rabbi Akiva Me'ako V'Adan Tipras. V'Kulam Mesu, V'Kulam Parak Echa Mesu. Remember again, this medrash, which also appears as a Gemara, tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students from one end of Eretz Yisrael to the other. And all of them, Nebuch, died out. Why did they die out? Lama Shahaisa Ineim Tsara Elu Ba'elu. So fine, we're not going to go through the story of the death of Rabbi Akiva's students. What we are going to focus on over here is that after Rabbi Akiva loses all of his students, what does he do? What does he do? He goes back out and he starts again. Ubasof Hamid Shiva. He goes ahead and he finds seven new students. Who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Ve'istam Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nehemiah, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rashbi, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. So again, why are you pointing this out over here? Because this is incredibly important. This teaches us who was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's Rebbe. Who was his Rebbe? Rabbi Akiva, which is also historically important, because when does this place, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, historically, when does he live? Right? Second Beis HaMikdash era. Right? Now, remember again, this is still during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So again, he's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but again, not part of the first cohort, part of the second cohort. Now, if he's part of the second group of Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, what do you think that tells you about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Remember again, who were these Talmidim that... When Rabbi Akiva gets these new Talmidim, five new Talmidim, seven new Talmidim, what was he looking for? What qualities was he looking for? People who could transmit the Mesorah. Excellent. What else was he looking for? So obviously he saw that there was some type of pigam in his previous students. People who did not possess that. We're going to come back to that in just a second. Good. What else?
Leaders.
This is the other incredibly important part. Remember again, I didn't put this over here, but the Gemara says, the Gemara Masechas Yevamos says that after the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, the Gemara uses the Lashon of V'haya Ha'olam Shamim. How would you translate that phrase? V'haya Olam Shamim? The world was desolate. The world was desolate, which means that with the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, there was an existential threat to the continuity of Klal Yisrael. 24,000 Tamidei Chachamim died in the span ultimately between Pesach and Shavuos. The Torah world was virtually wiped out. Rabbi Akiva needs to rebuild. Who do you rebuild with? You know, there are plenty of people who can be Talmidei Chachamim. You could be a Torah scholar that you could possess a lot of knowledge. It doesn't mean that you have the ability to convey it. So, of course, they have to be individuals who are capable of transmitting the Mesorah. They have to be teachers. They have to be teachers. They have to be people who are capable of giving over information, of creating relationships with Talmidim. So again, they have to be purveyors of the Mesorah. They can't be people who were this Eneim Tzara Elu Be'elu. Whatever that actually means, what it means is there was some type of pigam, something wrong with their Bein Adam L'Chaveru. The first 24,000. So we can't have that again because we need these people to rebuild. And number three, they have to be leaders. They have to be leaders. Remember, again, this was a time of incredible general upheaval. Even before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Romans are making Jewish life exceptionally difficult. They're extorting vast amounts of money, vast amounts of wealth from the Jewish people. We need people who could come along and lead. So we need purveyors of the Mesorah, people who are proficient and they're being Adam Lechaber, which we're going to come back to in just a moment, and leaders. So already, again, even if we knew nothing more than that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is one of the new students of Rabbi Akiva, Dayenu. That would have been enough to tell us ultimately, again, who he was. Someone who was the consummate teacher, someone who was a Bal Midos Tovos, and someone who was a leader. If you take a look at number four, see, interestingly enough, despite the fact that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is one of the people who helps Rabbi Akiva rebuild the ranks of Klal Yisrael, I'll show you something interesting. Look at number four. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos writes, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Tani Shimon ben Azai Omer, Matzasi Megillas Yochsin b'Yerushalayim. I found a Megillas Yochsin. What's a Megillas Yochsin? Right, like a family tree or a scroll of pedigree. Right, and I found what was written in it. The Kasuv Ba." Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kav Venaki. The teachings of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov are Kav. Kav is what? Kav is a measurement. Naki? Clean. What does that mean? Look at Rashi number 5. Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kav Venaki. Kav Mida Kitana. Kav is a small measure. Which means what? Kilomar. B'mekomos mu'atim hu niskar b'mishnah o b'braisa. This is actually quite interesting. What the Gemara is pointing out over here is as follows. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, despite being one of the new Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, someone who was a purveyor of the Mesorah, Bal Midos Tovos, a leader, he's mentioned very few times throughout Shas. Kav, which means a very small measure, but what does Naki mean?
Clean.
What does that mean about his teachings that they're clean? Oh, I want to say something amazing. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is quoted very few times throughout Shas. But wherever he is quoted, the halacha always follows him. So that's Kav Vinaki. Ultimately, again, very quoted very few times, but ultimately, again, wherever he's... You see, now you begin to understand. What does Naki really mean?
Clean.
pure, which means what in terms of his teachings?
Untampered.
I'm sorry?
Untampered.
Wait, it could be a reflection of direct Masora. What else could it mean? I'm sorry?
MS.
Well thought out. You see, in life, there are different kinds of people. There are some people who always have something to say about everything. And generally, their words are totally unimpactful and unimportant. And then there are some people who speak very sparingly. Very sparingly. And what they say is measured, and what they say is always impactful. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov spoke very rarely. In other words, he has very few teachings in Shas. But whatever is recorded in his name is pure. It's thought out. It's clean. Like, if you imagine this, by the way, because the metaphor it's giving Kav is a dry measure. So if you imagine for a moment, to me, the way I imagine it is, if you're, let's say, making, turning grain, right, wheat into flour. So you grind it up, and then what do you do after you grind it up? You sift it, right? And the finer the flour, the more you have to sift it, right? That's why, again, ultimately, fine flour is called naki. It's called naki. There are no impurities in it. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is kav, very small amount of flour that he left for us for all generations, but it's naki. It's pure. It's finely ground and finely sifted. All of the impurities are removed. So this, by the way, is also incredibly important because sometimes, you know, we learn from great people, not just from their teachings, but ultimately, again, we learn so much from observing great people as well. The fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was one of the Gedolei Hadar. One of the Gedolei Hadar. And yet, doesn't really have so many recorded teachings. In and of itself teaches us, be careful with what you say. Be measured with what you say. Weigh your words carefully. Weigh your declarations carefully. Anytime you're going to say something, make sure it's kav v'naki. But I want to share with you an amazing, amazing story. Take a look at number 6. So this is from Rabbi Lau's commentary on Pirkei Avos. He actually quotes over here a medrash. It's actually a Gemara in the Yerushalmi. So the Gemara is, Rabbi Lau condenses the Gemara a little bit into more succinct form. So let's learn it from here. And this is, I tell you, this story is absolutely amazing. 6 Aleph. Milvad Gidulasa B'Torah. In addition to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's greatness in Torah, Anumotzim B'Yerushalmi, Sipur Hameyet Al Ishiyuso Hamiyuchedes. Remember again, let's go back for just a moment. If you remember again, we spoke about the idea that Rabbi Akiva is looking for 3 qualities in these new Talmidim. Again, what are they? Number one, teachers, people who could convey the Masorah. Number 2, Baale Midos Tovos. Remember again, whatever happened with Rabbi Akiva's students, there was a breakdown in Midos. What it was, we're not, remember again, the word the Gemara purposely uses somewhat of an obscure lashon. Einayim tzara zu al zu, they had a narrow eye, not a good, whatever it was, there was some type of breakdown in the Ben Adam Lechavero. They have to have Midos Tovos. And number 3, leadership. This Gemara speaks out Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's Ben Adam Lechavero. This is a wild story. So watch this. Milvad Gilos of HaTorah, Anamosim Yerushalmi, Sipur Hameyet Al Ishiyusa Miyuchedes. We find in the Gemara a story which speaks out Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's unique and singular personality. Here we go. Yom Echad, Higia Li'iro Ani Shahayasuma. One day, there was an Ani, a poor person who was blind, who came to the city of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, excuse me. And what happens? His Yashiv HaKabtzon B'chutzo Sa'ir, Hiniach Kupa, V'himtin L'nidvoseim Shalabrios. So the problem is, so this man was blind. He obviously can't circulate around the city. So what did he do? He parked himself by the entranceway of the city. He put his pushka in front of him. He sat down on the ground and hoped for the generosity of the townspeople. Ulam ish lo hishkiachbo. What does it mean? Ish lo hishkiachbo? No one paid attention to him. Now, why did no one pay attention to him? Why not? What do you think? So, meaning because he couldn't see them, they just walked. But I'm saying, what?
Wouldn't feel badly walking by.
Oh, so first of all, again, right? People, why don't people stop just to put something in the pushka?
Because
I'm asking a psychology question. Right? Why didn't you see a blind man sitting over here? Why don't you stop to put a dollar in there? So first, it could be someone else will give. Good. I'm sorry? Not embarrassed because he can't see him. Why else? I'm sorry? Oh, that's interesting. People are cynical. So maybe they wonder, is this really legitimate? Good. What else? There's a simpler issue. People are inherently self-absorbed. See, they're not Rishon. These people are not bad people. Not bad people. Most of us are self-absorbed. I'm focusing on my own life. I'm focusing on my own life. I'll tell you something amazing. This happened to me yesterday. I was driving. When was it windy? Was it yesterday, the day before? Whatever it was. You know, early in the weekend it was windy. So I was driving and someone's garbage can had like blown into the street. So like the lid of the garbage can was in the middle of the street. So I just drove around it and drove around and went forward. And in my rear view mirror, I saw someone, an upfront lady. She stopped. She got out of her car. She picked up the garbage lid and she put it back by the curb, by this person's driveway. And I had to tell you, like in that moment, I felt such a profound sense of embarrassment. Like I wasn't in any particular rush to get anywhere. There was such a simple chesed for another human being. Their garbage can is in the middle of the street. It's at some point in time it's gonna get run over and bent out of shape and whatever else. So I'm thinking to myself, like, that lady, well, I don't know who she was, but she took 30 seconds to get out of her car, put it to the side, and yet I was very proud of my driving skills, and I was just able to maneuver around it and move on. So I tried to understand, so why did I do that? Like, why didn't I stop to help? I realized because I was just self-absorbed. I was just thinking about my own stuff. I have to get here. I have to do this. I have to do this. Of course, I was careful not to run it over. I wasn't going to run over someone else's garbage can. But I also wasn't going to take time out of my life to do something for someone else. Not because I'm a bad person. Not because I don't care. But because in that moment, I was thinking about me. I just wasn't thinking about anyone else. And this is an incredibly important yesod. Because sometimes people do things to us in life. Or don't do things for us in life. And sometimes we get slighted because someone else didn't do something nice for me. And understand, people are good. We're all good. We just, more often than not, get a little bit too caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in ourselves, in our own life. I guarantee you, the townspeople of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are very good people. Are very good people. And they weren't, I don't believe that they were purposely ignoring the Summa. And I'll even be down the Kaf Schuss that they had the Summa said, Tzedakah, Tzedakah, they would have stopped and would have given him. People are, generally most of us, are focused on ourselves. To the exclusion of most of the things that are happening around me. If someone comes up to me and says, can you help me? Of course. Someone comes up and says, can you do this? Of course. But otherwise, I'm living in my own head. I'm living in my own life. Okay, so everyone's ignoring him. Anashim chalfwa panav. Einam rotzim. Rotzim, the many people are running to their own stuff. Va'af echad lo hikdish chuma slave. No one was paying attention to the blind man. Oh, misas kol shehi la'osa poshit. And the truth is, the blind man is sitting there, and mamish, no one is even stopping to give him a dollar. Nothing. Paragraph base. Hivchin bekach Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov realized what was happening. Get ready for this story. Halach v'his yashiv l'margalosav shala'ani. You have to imagine the scene. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what does he do? He sits down by the feet of the ani. He sits down next to the ani, next to the blind poor man on the street. Mibli lomar davar li'ish. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says nothing to anyone. Ra'u zos anashim. The people saw this. Nitamu v'nifhalu. And the people became overwhelmed. Raf ha'ir yoshev b'rechov b'tzavsa imkabtsan miskein. Right? The Rav of the city, one of the Gedolei Hadar, is sitting on the street next to some blind beggar. Maskanosim hamispakesh as haisa ki kinira gavre rabahu osasuma. So what's the conclusion that people reached? What's the conclusion? Right, that obviously if the Rav of the city is sitting down on the street next to this blind man, the blind man must be someone very chashev. Must be someone very chashuv. How else is the Rav of the city going to park himself on the street like this? The man must be very chashuv. Paragraph Gimel. As gam hevchinu, sharav misamin biado, laivar akupa shalani. And what happens? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, now he doesn't say a word. And we'll discuss why that is in just a moment. He doesn't say a word. But what does he start doing? He starts motioning towards the pushka that's in front of the ani. So what is he doing? What is he doing? Telling everyone to give. He's motioning for everyone to give. So hischilu l'shashal matbeos l'kupa. Lo haya ish shel azorak matbea. So what happens? So you have to understand the contrast. The sumo is sitting there for how long? And remember again, how does the sumo know if people are stopping? How does he know?
He hears the clank.
If he hears the clank of the coins. Silence. Suddenly again, something very interesting happens, which is clank, clank, clank. There's not one person who's passing by without dropping coins into the pushka. Hasuma shelo haya muda l'rav. Turn the page, I'm sorry. Hayoshev v'yadav, shama pitom, es geshem hanadavas, paragraph Dalit. As tziltzalameh, so what happens? So the suma is sitting there. He has no idea what's going on, but what does he suddenly hear? Mamish, a downpour of clanks. Right? He hears all of the coins coming into his basket. B'chushav ha-metufachim, chash b'techuna ha-rocheshes sivivo, v'heven sheyesh siba l'davar. So you know what happens when a person is blind? What happens? So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us is that when one sense is compromised, the other ones become more acute. So the Summa is no fool. So he realizes something is going on over here. I'm sitting here all of this time. No one's giving me anything. Suddenly now all the coins are pouring into my pushka. Something's going on. Sha'al es ha'omdim liyado. So he asked one of the people who was standing next to him, Ma kara shezachisi lechaser hazeh? The Summa asks, what have I done to what? To deserve this incredible chaser from the townspeople? So the man says to him, Heshev lo. Do you not know who's sitting next to you? Ayad Rav Ha'ir, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Echad Migidole Hadar. Who is sitting next to you? One of the Gidol, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Rav of the city, one of the Gidole Hadar. Paragraph Hey. Hevin Hasuma es Godel Hachesed, Shegamal Imor Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amarlo. So listen to this. So the Summa, the blind man, realized what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov did for him. And so he gives him a bracha. Listen to this bracha. Ata gamalta chesed im mi shenira ve'eino roa. You, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, have done a chesed with the one who is seen but does not see. Who is the one who is seen but does not see? That's the blind man. Haroe ve'eino nire yigmo imcha chesed atzov kol yamin. The one who sees but cannot be seen should shower chesed upon you the rest of your days. Who is the one who could see but cannot be seen? The Ribono Shel Olam. You hear that beautiful bracha? He says to the Rav of the city, you did a chesed with the one who can be seen but cannot see. And for that chesed, the one who sees but cannot be seen should shower bracha upon you. Such an incredibly dramatic and overwhelming story. But the story is multifaceted. Because remember again, yes, what do you see from the story? What do you see from the story? The incredible chesed of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What else do you see? What else do you see? You see, I'm sorry? So what you see over here is something amazing. So there are different ways to do chesed. So we know the highest form of chesed is chesed with chachma. Right? Chesed with chachma. What does it mean, chesed with chachma? You see, sometimes there's a beauty in doing chesed. What's the danger in chesed? That you make the recipient feel like a chesed case. This happens all the time. We're very well-meaning people do something really beautiful for another human being. But they don't realize is they've made the other person feel like a chesed case. No one ever wants to feel like a chesed case. No one likes to be on the receiving end of chesed. No one likes to feel helpless. No one likes to feel like they are at the mercy of someone else's chesedim. Chesed is all about Chesed Chachma. Where did we learn this the first time? Who is the epitome of Chesed and Chachma? The epitome? Right, that's always a safe answer, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He is the Chesed Chachma, because he gives us so much, but that, good. Who else? Where in the Torah do we see the first name of Chesed Chachma? Rivka. Whereby Rivka, watch this. I'm going to tell you, I thought maybe we mentioned this, maybe I didn't. There's an incredible Beis Halevi. Remember again, Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak. And he devises a test. What's the test? I'm going to go to a girl. I'm going to go over to her, she's at the well. And what am I going to ask her for? For a drink. And if she offers me a drink and what? To water my entire flock of camels, that's the woman for Yitzchak. So first of all, what does that mean? That's what chesed means? A stranger approaches you and you have to be willing to water his entire flock of camels? That's what it means to be a bachasimi. It's quite exciting. Camels drink a lot. Drink a lot. So a young woman is obligated to go ahead and water a whole flock of camels for a total stranger? That's the metric of it. Did Avraham Avinu ever water someone's herd of cattle? Or camels? Did he? No. Sorry, may not ever do that? No. Right? So suddenly again, the wife of Yitzchak, so that basically he says something amazing. Listen to this. So he has this like this. I'm going to go over to a girl. I'm going to say, can I have a drink from your jug of water? And if the girl is kind enough, she's going to offer me a drink. But now this young lady's going to have a problem. What's the problem? Right? What do I do with the rest of the water? Right? Because again, this strange guy just drank from my jug. So to go ahead and now bring this jug of water home to my family, it's a bit icky. I don't know who this person is. To pour the rest of the water out on the ground would what? Be offensive to the stranger. So what's the? There's only one way to be a balas chesed with chachma in this situation is how? If you take the remainder of the jug of water and pour it into the trough for the camels. Eliezer was not expecting Rivka Imenu to water the entire flock of camels. What he wanted to see was what was she going to do with the rest of the water in the jug. You see, someone who does chesed without chachma will say, sure, have something to drink. And when Eliezer finishes drinking, what will she do? She'll dump out the rest of the stuff on the ground and just refill the jug. But that's offensive to Eliezer. Someone who doesn't have any chachma will just take the water back to her family and give it to them. You don't know who this guy is. You shouldn't be giving water from a stranger to someone you don't know. Right? So there's only one way to do chesed with chachma here, which is take the remaining water in the jug and pour it into the trough for the camels. Let the camels drink the rest of the water. Rivka Imenu was not simply a paradigm of chesed. She was the paradigm for chesed with chachma. It's not just enough to do nice things for people. You have to do nice things for people in a way which preserves their dignity, which doesn't make them feel like chesed cases, which doesn't make them feel like nebuchs, doesn't make them feel like tzedakah cases. Do something nice for a person, but allow them to preserve their dignity. What's happening over here? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov could have easily gone ahead and what? He could have easily walked into the middle of the street and made an announcement. What's the announcement? What's the announcement? There's a blind beggar that showed up to our city. Jews. Be rachmanim and rachmanim. Gomli chasadim and rachmanim chasadim. Balei tzedaka. And give this precious Jew some money. And then what would have happened? What would have happened? They would have given him. And the blind man, what would have been the impact on him? Right. So the truth is, it's twofold. Number one, you don't think he already knows he's a beggar? He knows he's a beggar. Not only is he a beggar, but apparently people aren't even machshiv him enough to give them on their own. It's only because the Rav of the city told them to give that now that they're giving. They've been shamed into giving. So it's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's plan. What's his plan? I'm just going to sit here. You understand the pechisas hakavod. What a degradation to his honor. He's going to sit there on the curb next to the blind man. And what is he going to say, bless you? What is he going to say? Nothing. All he wants is all he's doing is going to sit there and he's motioning for people to put into the pushka. He doesn't want, and what's his plan? His plan is to sit there for a little while till the beggar collects enough and then move on. And the goal is that the blind man should never even know that I was here. He should feel chashev. He should feel loved. He should feel appreciated. Now, of course, the blind man picked up on it, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's cover is blown. But if you notice, by the way, even in this story, Even in this story, what do you notice is missing? The blind man says, to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right? He gives him the bracha. What's missing from the story? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov never responds. He never responds. The blind man knows that he's there because he's been told that he's there. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he doesn't say amen. He doesn't respond. He sits there. I'm not going to say anything. Thank you for the bracha, of course. Appreciate the bracha. But this is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And this, again, remember, was trait number two that Rabbi Akiva was looking for. Individuals who not only were good in Ben Adam L'Chavero, but were excellent in Ben Adam L'Chavero. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is not just simply a Baal Chesed. He's a person who knows how to do Chesed with Chachma. He embodies this midah of a Rifke Imenu. Someone, again, who is willing to go out of his way to another person, but understands that doing Chesed for a person is only part of the equation. Doing Chesed for a person in a way which preserves their dignity, that's the ultimate calling of a Baal Chesed. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emeret Hashem on Monday with the interpretations of the Mishnah.